welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. Our special guest, the well-known TV host, radio host, and author, Dr. Ray Guarendi. How to Get Along with Almost Everybody is the name of his new book, published proudly by EWTN Publishing, naturally available through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com for all things Catholic. Always great to be with you. Dr. Ray, people would have seen you on your multiple shows on EWTN, obviously, ongoing series, and of
still
course,
still do on, my own stunts.
On with Father Mitch. And so that's always exciting, and we appreciate you stopping by EWTN's little bookmark show here. Is this 20 books plus or something for you right now?
No, like I say, I learned the secret to writing a lot of books. Can't worry about quality, you know?
Right. Well, this one we know is good because EWTN published it. So if you haven't picked up one before, this is the one to start off with. But so when you work either in radio, television, or writing, which is your preferred medium?
The hardest by far is writing. Mm-hmm. The statement is, if something is easy to read, it was hard to write. Mm-hmm. I edit something 20 times before I look at it and go, well, okay, that's acceptable. Mm-hmm. Radio is the easiest because it's an intimate medium. Mm-hmm. Television's tough. You got to keep track of everything. Right. You got your time cues, you got your different cameras, and very few cameras give me a good sight anymore. That's the hard part.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. You say in the beginning of this book, actions speak louder than words. The better you get along with God, though, the better you'll get along with people. Why?
Somebody got upset when I said that. They just said, that has nothing to do with it. I said, of course. If you get along with God, you're following the way he says to do it. Mm-hmm. If he knows how we live, then he knows the best way to live. And he says, okay, do it this mm-hmm. way. Okay. And that automatically is going to translate to somebody else.
Right. It's interesting because you say actions speak louder than words, you go on to say, but words speak loudly too. And I think a lot of times, you talk about it in the book, sometimes in relationships and stuff like that, you know, somebody can be very action oriented in seeming like, well, I'm doing all these things for you, but that doesn't quite, you know, make it over into where there's an aspect of discussion or speaking that need to happen as well, right?
Fascinating study was done with spouses. They said, okay, you're going to have a date night. And what they found was the date nights didn't work if the rest of the time the words in the marriage mm-hmm. were critical or harsh or argumentative, the date nights didn't do anything. One of the points I make in the mm-hmm. book is that, no, I haven't been punched in the face since I was in the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's going to come after me.
Is that when he called you shorty?
Well, a lot of stuff they did.
Okay.
I'm standing up here. The words is what comes at you. Mm-hmm. And that's why 90% of getting along with somebody comes through words.
Right. You say some habits and practices forge a connection, some fray, even rupture. How do you know which is which?
You watch reaction. You see how people react to what you're saying, what you're doing. One of the big things in this is you can't. A question I get as a shrink, probably more than any other question, will you tell me how to make somebody be different? Mm-hmm. I usually say I have a hard time making you be different. Mm-hmm. And in that, you have to get along with people, you have to kind of get to the point where you recognize this person isn't going to be different. Mm-hmm. And to get along with them, or at least to get along with them less badly, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to expect this.
Well, isn't the big, and the message through here many times is the idea, the only person you can change is yourself. And many times it's how you react to the situation that matters as opposed to the middle of the situation.
It's almost 90% how you react.
Right.
But people think it's almost a reflective emotion, reflexive emotional response. Doug, you say something snotty to me, I'm going to be hurt.
Right.
I'm going to be offended. I'm going to retaliate. Well, wait a minute. It's not reflexive. Mm. I decide exactly how I'm going to do this.
Right, right.
I think one of the big things in relationships that really cause the friction is the repetitive kind of, he's opinionated, he's critical, he's snarky, mm-hmm. he acts superior. How long has he been doing this? Since I've known him. How long have you known him? 34 years.
Right.
Are you going to get used to the point where this doesn't have the impact on you?
Well, do you think there's and you've heard about it before, and not necessarily so much in the book, but the concept that, well, so-and-so is going to change. I'm going to change him, or I'm going to change her.
It's the number one question I get, as I said. And the question always underneath it is, there has to be a way. Mm-hmm. There have to be words. There have to be an approach to make this person be different.
Is that because I view that my view of reality is the appropriate view, and if that person just understood the world the way I see it, they would act appropriately?
In therapy, if somebody's telling me their view of reality, and I think I got it. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm here. We've had five sessions. I'm hearing your view of reality. The sixth session, mm-hmm. they say something that completely upends what I thought was their view of reality. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time.
You say to get along better with everybody, well, almost everybody, the first question is to answer is why, and you go on to the point that as they see it, other people see that you're the problem. How much more of your time and effort is worth expending for little or no return? The temptation nags. Seek relief, retreat from the relationship. And that's really the advice in general, and
yes,
you deal with it a lot today, which is if this is a tough situation, withdraw. If this is toxic,
get peace.
As
get
you
your
talk
peace
about it,
however right, you should. Right. But what if it's your mother-in-law? What if it's your spouse's right. parent? Mm-hmm. What if it's your adult child? You can't sever these relationships willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. You know the number one thing I'm now hearing from a lot of parents who have raised their kids? Mm-hmm. That their kids went to a therapist. And the therapist said, well, from what you're telling me, your parents are toxic. Mm-hmm. You need for your own peace to sever that contact. I'm hearing that all the time now.
And it seems to be, I think that's even like a general kind of advice or understanding about, you know, you need to keep some distance from your parents so that you can have your own, you know, idea, your life, et cetera, which kind of fits into this whole societal thing, which has tried to break the relationship in many times between parental rights and young children, let alone children as they grow older.
The phrase du jour, set boundaries, Doug.
Right.
You need to set boundaries. Well, all too often, set boundaries means sever mm-hmm. the contact.
Right, exactly. And you talk about, obviously, our Lord says you have to honor your parents. Doesn't mean you do everything they tell you, but you should at least have some respect there. Now, I'm confused. There's some guy named Jesus in here who I thought you were the master psychologist.
No, he is. Kind of at his feet.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. You say one needn't be a Christian to want to be on good terms with others. Rare is the person who prefers chaos over calm. If that's the case, why is there so much chaos?
Because my self-interest rules. You don't respect me, Doug, obviously, by the things you're saying. Mm-hmm. I automatically need to be offended. You have no right to say that. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve that. I don't do that to you. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing these things? There is this connection that if you're a certain way to me negatively, I have to react. Mm-hmm. I deserve to react that way. It's my due.
Mm-hmm. Now, you get along with mail carriers. Is that true? Is
no.
that still
I
a general
I have never
rule?
Had a bad relationship with a mail carrier because all I do is say, thank you, and I take my mail.
Okay. What's the law of social proximity?
You mean reciprocity? We both can't pronounce it.
Proximity.
Oh, okay. You're
it's
right.
It's the law of social proximity.
The closer people are to you emotionally, the more power they have to upset you emotionally.
Right.
That's pretty straightforward.
The question then is, am I less tolerant toward my family than toward my temporary associates? Goes on, am I lazy or sloppy interacting with those I claim to love the most? And then you go to the cynic line about familiarity breeds contempt. About the only people we would like are those we don't know very well. Reminds me of Howie Mandel's line there. But you say that that it's not really true about our relationships in that way.
I will ask spouses in marriage counseling, okay, who does your spouse treat the best? Oftentimes I'll say, well, people at work. Mm-hmm. Oh, she treats the people at church the best. I wish I'd get a fraction of that. So you have to look at, okay, what is it about me and you that I don't treat you as well as I treat him? Well, that's because you have all that contact. True, mm-hmm. but what is it about the contact that's making me not treat you as well as I treat the mail carrier?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's also here, it's interesting too, because you say here, what if one spouse is willing to work much harder in, you know, like marriage counseling? Can she alone improve the marriage or at least her side of it? Why did you say she?
I mix up my pronouns. I use he and I use she. You just happened. But the other thing is this, more often it is the wife who comes into therapy.
I thought maybe that was the case. Okay. Okay. I say you say arguments. What are those?
that's the main template mm-hmm. of arguments. rather than if you say something, I can say, when do I do that? Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me how I do that. Rather than, I don't do that. Well, you know, you do the same thing. What are you mm-hmm. accusing me of this for? Mm-hmm. It's I'm going to make my point. You make your point. I'll make my point. You make your point, and that thing will escalate through the roof.
So we go talk past each other, so yeah. to speak. You see, most divorces don't follow major dysfunction, abuse, alcoholism, adultery, mental disorders. Most divorces are the end point of a long time interpersonal slide. And then you mentioned something about how people don't like the way so-and-so licks stamps.
Remember that movie? You're a movie buff. Remember where he says, I don't even like the way she licks postage stamps.
Right. They always say it's the little stuff that annoys mm-hmm. people. Why is that the case, do you think?
Accumulation. Mm-hmm. What happens is in these marriages, somebody will say, well, he's been doing this the whole time we've been married. He's leaves cupboards open.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you talk about that.
You're still upsetting yourself over.
Because you were a neatnik, right, before you were married.
Yeah, and then we had 10 kids, and the Lord goes, I'll fix you. Yeah,
that's right.
Our house smelled like a landfill, you know?
You say, like discipline-drained parents, relationship-rattled adults can surrender. I've tried everything to get along with them. Nothing works. Again, what all has been tried? How consistently? For how long? So is it like most things, we either want 5 points to do or something that in 1 month it'll all be fixed?
I get up in the morning, put the mug in the microwave, I punch in 60 seconds. Down around 30 seconds, I'm gone. Come on, come on. Right. Haven't got all minute, let's go. We want that in relationships. You know, I've complimented her. I've been complimenting her like you said. It doesn't make any difference. I'll tell you, it just doesn't make any difference. How long have you been doing it? Month. Yeah, I always use the confession example. Bless me, Father, for, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just bless me? I mean, because, you know, I 30 years, I don't have any sins left. I've conquered right. all of them.
Bless me, Father, my friends have sinned.
Yeah.
Let me go over some of those.
I'll go, bless
my
me, Father.
Has sinned, right.
Here's the list. It's the
right.
same stuff I've been telling you for 30
right.
years.
When's the Holy Spirit going to fix this? You talk about changing any relationship, it really begins with self-scrutiny. And actually, how can I be easier to live with? So the question with that, you say the self-help jargon is how-tos. Every how-to, however, must be moved by a want-to. I must will myself to change. But that's the big fear with many people there. I remember in marriage encounter days or anybody going to this, it's having the threat of I'm going to have to change.
And then that makes me a doormat or that person will take advantage of me. Mm-hmm. Just the opposite is true. Most people, unless they are just so pathologically twisted up, will respond mm-hmm. to better treatment. They will. It's a rare person who won't. I mean, they have to be seriously disturbed. In spouses, they're convinced of this. No, if I did, it wouldn't make any difference.
Right.
How do you know this? How do you know it wouldn't? Well, I'm always the one who apologizes. Well, if you do apologize with some more genuineness, you think that maybe mm-hmm. he might soften? I don't know. Well, you're living with him. You're not going to go anywhere. What do you got to lose here?
Mm-hmm. Right. You say extreme language saturates our everyday speech in this section about watching your language. You talk about three terms, toxic, which you alluded to a little bit before, narcissist, and emotional abuse. Now, these are words that we hear a lot about today that we didn't hear from.
Right, exactly.
Until recently.
Psych speak drifts into everyday lexicon.
Mm-hmm.
So what the
more
shrink,
so today than ever
absolutely.
Before.
What the shrinks come up with language, we absorb. Mm-hmm. So if I call somebody toxic, well, really, that kind of implies I can't get along with him.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a narcissist, well, you know, that's a special kind of pathology, right. And you can't expect me to roll with his comments because he's a narcissist.
Right.
Or emotional abuse. People will say this to me, he emotionally abuses me. You mean he's nasty?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, you decide how abusive that is.
Right.
It's nasty. Yes, it is. But you don't have to be abused by it. If you decide, oh, doctor, I can't snap my fingers and decide. No, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
But you can decide to work on it.
Right. Well, I think also with that, and having a special needs child and any of us who have those kind of situations, when you hear the terms abuse thrown around sometimes with, you know, people who have been sexually abused and other things, not to diminish these
right.
other things, but somebody's like, well, I was, you know, when I was raised as a kid, my father was very abusive. What did he do?
He yelled
did he
at
beat
me.
You up?
Yeah, he yelled
no,
at me.
No, he told you to do your homework or whatever, and it's like, maybe it could have been said better or whatever. You don't want to diminish it. But you end up in this world we're talking about today with microaggressions, which you talk about in the book as well. The idea that people are snowflakes who can't deal with any criticism or any, you know, just real world interchange.
A Christian should be the last person to be easily offended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you hear what he said to me? Yeah. Well, that's offensive. Yeah, it is. Do you have to be offended by it? Your concern is it true?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not true, you don't have to be offended by it. We shouldn't have said it. Well, he did.
Well, isn't the most offensive things that people usually get upset about are the things they think themselves might be true?
Old projection, huh?
Right.
The old, if you want to make me mad, tell a lie about me. If you want to make me really mad, tell the truth about me.
Right, right. That's the thing that kind of bings, because somebody saw through your facade or your armor. You say, in marriage counseling, two people give the history of their relationship. To say that both sound as though they live in separate homes would be a dramatic understatement, which is kind of what you were talking about.
Spouse will come in
level, right,
by herself or by himself, and they'll describe a situation. So after three sessions, boy, it sounds like they're just putting up with all kinds of nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other spouse comes in and describes the scenario as they see it. These are people who live in separate solar systems, or mm-hmm. Father Spitzer's separate universe mm-hmm. here, you know, the universe bubble.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, the perception here is wildly different, and you have to keep that in mind in any relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right, the way you're seeing that situation. And you also talk about the idea of going to this narcissistic when you're really talking about, yeah, some people might be a little more self-centered
yes.
than others, but you're not talking about, you know, the true diagnosis of what
narcissism is a serious personality disorder, and
right.
it gets flung around onto everybody. Well, my brother's a narcissist. Well, you mean he's self-centered? Yeah, he's difficult. Was he a narcissist with everybody? Oh, no, they love him at church. Mm-hmm. Well, then he's not a narcissist.
Right, right, exactly. He doesn't spend all day staring at himself in the mirror and never leave. What is difficult? Let me ask you, do you like prefer tests with college sophomores or rats? Or are those about the same?
Those are our psychologist subjects. That's
okay.
What we like.
Gym rats, anyway. So who's Aunt Fanny?
Oh, it's one of the greatest studies ever done.
Mm-hmm.
They told these college sophomores, we got a new test. I want you to take it. Personality test. Best there is. Kids took it. They said, we'll get to the results. They come back a week later and said, here's your results. Each kid read the description, and they said, now we want you to rate how close we were. Oh, my. Most of the kids said, oh, right on target. You know the catch, Doug? It was the same description for all of them.
Right.
For all of them.
Which,
and that says how, when you say somebody's difficult, what are you saying? You know, but she's just difficult.
Right.
Well, what do you mean by that? Well, she's opinionated.
Right. It's the same thing with horoscopes. That's what people
exactly. Really,
everybody goes, oh,
watch
whoa,
those
yeah,
trait
yeah,
terms, because
yeah,
yeah. those trait terms can make you categorize somebody as, you know what, I don't think they can be reached.
Right. You say one doesn't need soul-searching sunglasses to know, and you have a thing about seeing the truth. Most everyone walks through life with hidden hurts and struggles. It's often the explanation, though not always obvious, why is he like this? And I think that's one of the things I think as you get older, you start to have a little more understanding of when people act a certain way, then you react and you step back and say, well, you know what kind of day they're having? You don't really know what's going on in their lives in that particular situation.
Mothers will tell me, my mother-in-law just critiques my parenting. And then some of them find out she had a rough motherhood herself. Two of her kids have not talked to her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been insecure all the way along, and now she's firing off little snipes at your parenting. Part of it's because of, look at what she went through historically.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could always keep your mind open to that could be.
Right, and also trying to remember the good things that person sacrificed for you. You know, you talk about in the section on Show Some Interest, two different kinds of conversations, and you lay them out here. One you call parallel, the other is cooperative. What's the difference?
You ever watch two little kids play? When they're immature, they play side by side, but they don't interact.
Right.
When they get a little more mature, they start to interact.
Mm-hmm.
Immature conversation is, you tell me about yours or your kid, and then I'll tell you about mine. Mm-hmm. And then I'll wait till you're done, and then you tell me, and then I'll tell you some more. Rather than me saying to you, so did he get a scholarship then? Rather than me saying, yeah, my son got a scholarship too because we thought he... People are immediately likable when they show an interest in you.
Right,
right off the bat, they want to hear about you. you walk away thinking, boy, that was a nice person.
Right.
I mean, you don't know why,
right.
But it's so easy to just keep people talking in a conversation right. about them. It's very easy to do, and it makes you very appealing.
Right, and find some good works. You talk about the law of entropy and social entropy. What do you mean by that?
Most relationships can get lazy. The close ones get lazy. For example, my marriage, I don't compliment like I used to. I don't kiss you like I used to.
It's corroding, as you talk about here?
Yeah.
Corrosion?
Yes. It's not necessarily hostility. I just kind of got sloppy. And law of social entropy
doesn't
decays.
Doesn't sound particularly authentic.
It just decays, yeah. And I think you got to fight against that like you have to fight against the deteriorating muscles in your body.
But don't you have to be your authentic self?
Yeah, what if my authentic self was a jerk?
Some guy asked you, how do I stop being a jerk?
Don't be
was
a jerk.
Was there an answer? I didn't quite get that.
Well, you know, when you were talking about the how-tos, somebody will say to me, well, how do I be more affectionate? And I'll say, be more affectionate.
Right.
Well, how do I... that my mother-in-law not get to me like that. Mm. Well, don't let your mother-in-law get to me like that. That'll be $100.
Yeah, why do you let her bother you so much? What is it she's saying that you find so... In the section here about getting this particular chapter, it talks about counseling, but it talks about the idea in counseling also, don't read motives. And that's one of the things I think that's out there, you know, people assuming bad will on the action of other people who maybe have no bad will behind what they said or what they did.
The thing that'll make you most angry at somebody is personalizing it. You know, Doug showed up late for our bookmark. You know, he doesn't seem to care, apparently. What am I, one of these authors he doesn't care about? I personalize it immediately rather than saying, he had to go to the bathroom, you know, or he needed more makeup. No, I immediately took it personally, and that can just absolutely cause a relationship to go downhill fast.
Now, did the past have a problem when you engraved your name into the pew at the church?
You're reading a little too closely there.
That's right. It's in your section on going easy. I guess they went easy on you. You said easygoing people attract, demanding people repel. What is easygoing not? It is not living by a moral whatever. Explain what that means.
People think easygoing is, well, okay, you know, you do you and I'll do me. No, easygoing is in the everyday give and take of a relationship. So, Doug, you say to me, well, there's this one restaurant, Ray, I want you to meet me there. And I'm thinking, I don't like that restaurant at all. I don't want to go there. Nah, Doug, that's okay. We think of someplace else. Instead, okay, Doug, that's good for you, that's fine.
Okay.
Or if my wife wants to watch some movie about orphan puppies who swim across a river and I want to watch Terminator 29, okay, what am I going to do?
I thought it was growling something around.
Well, that's
the grizzly growls.
Grizzly growls, yeah, okay. But Terminator 29.
Okay,
you know.
You're updating the book.
Yes,
here.
Absolutely.
Okay. In a section on unoffendability.
Not a word.
That's right, badly pronounced by me. Taking offense and feeling offense don't say the same thing. Taking offense needs the head's cooperation. Taking offense is reflective. It involves thinking, interpreting another. So you got feeling the offense and taking offense.
You can feel offense.
Right.
You can feel it. I don't like when she says that about me. Mm. Okay, I feel offended. I don't have to take offense. I don't have to say she has no right to say that about me.
Right.
I'm not like that. I don't deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
She should look at herself. I don't do that to her. That's where all the head stuff comes in,
okay. And
you bristle.
One of the chapters here, I thought it was right on the money, expectation.
Wait a minute, one of the chapters you thought was right on the money.
Yeah,
went through seven chapters and you got to one.
I had to get to the middle of the book before I found something really interesting. In the section, expectations versus reality. And you talk about frustration, the difference between the way we want things to be and the way they are. It's the distance between our expectations and reality. You go on to say, I can hope that another will act right toward me. I can want it. I can pray for it. If I should expect it, however, I'll set myself up for frustration, distress, or anger. And I think that's
the hardest part is for people to accept.
Right.
This is the way it is. Your father-in-law is politically opinionated, and he's going to snipe at you if you bring up anything remotely close to politics. How long have you known this? Well, as long as I've known him. It still upsets you? What do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I expect him to be different. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get caught up in this expectation of, why can't you not be that way?
Right.
Because they are that way.
What is overcorrecting, and when do you do it?
Well, that's, do you ever see two spouses bicker? I see that among spouses all the time. They'll be telling you a story. Well, you know, we went there, it was a Saturday night, and you hear the spouse go, no, it was Friday. Okay. Well, we went there, okay, it was Friday, but it was about 9 o'clock. No, it was 8:30, remember that? We just left the house. It's that kind of, people don't like that. They do not like you jumping into a conversation and picking at what their details are.
Right. Absolutely. In instructive, constructive, destructive, you said, tell me what you think are my positives, and the minutes fly by. I welcome feedback. Point out my negatives, and it gets very slow. That's your Einstein
story. It's like
story.
My Einstein theory. Time is relative.
Relative, right. Relative to whether you're saying something I like or don't like.
You know,
like.
A tricky word is constructive criticism, because constructive criticism essentially says, Doug, I'm telling you this for your own good, but it really is a slap. You know, Doug, I think you might want to watch your vocabulary there a little bit. You know, you're right. A professional person on TV, and your vocabulary is a little sloppy. I'm just telling you to help you out here, Doug. No, that's a put down.
Right. Well, to offer constructive criticism is to put one at a higher level of analyzing the situation than you yourself can understand. And you need my insights for you to better understand how you can fix these problems.
Man, you're roaring through that book.
Aren't you? And damage control, I thought there's some great stuff. You got Columbo in here.
I love Columbo.
Petty peeves, got some George Carlin jokes, snarky remarks. Can't figure out how that got in your book. But anyway, you got another book in the works?
I do. I can't tell you, though. Okay. I'd have to kill you.
That's good. Okay. And put me out of my misery. The one and only Dr. Ray Guarendi, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. EW10 Publishing proudly published it, and it's available naturally through our EW10 Religious Catalog. And I'm Doug Keck. This has been a Bookmark program, and thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.